Hi, I'm Laramie Taylor, creator of A Voice in the Dark, and you're listening to Behind the Panels.
They can be a great people, Kal-El. They wish to be. They only lack the light to show the way. For this reason, above all, their capacity for good. I have sent them you. My only son.
My spider senses are starting to tingle.
Just hang on to your lariat.
Wonder what kind of a scene I'm getting into.
Welcome to issue 73 of Behind the Panels, the comic book podcast that needs a flowchart to explain it. I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
Dave Longo.
In this issue, AMC announces a Walking Dead spin-off. Oh good, a series that doesn't feel the need to follow the comic book. Warner also announces that DC Entertainment will be the backbone of their release calendar. We guess that makes Ben Affleck the hairpiece. Then Joss Whedon rewrites Thor the Dark World. We're guessing Coulson dies again. Plus our kick-ass pick of the week, S.H.I.E.L.D. by Jonathan Hickman and Dustin Weaver. All this and more coming up after these short messages. This is Behind the Panels.
After 50 years, I gotta confess, I'm a failure. I told you people eat lots of spinach and put iron in your muscles. Oh, but did you listen? Not at breakfast. Okay, here's new iron fortified Start. Instant orange flavor breakfast drink. Start has more iron than spinach and a frosty orange flavor. Start for breakfast packs iron. Tastes orange. Start. Iron for your body. Now with a breakfast drink.
That's the most geriatric sounding Popeye I've ever heard.
At first I thought we had Lawrence Tierney back again. But it was... that was a 1980s Popeye commercial for something called Start, which was an orange drink.
It didn't last very long, apparently.
No, but it tastes like iron and looks orange or something. I don't know. You may as well just eat orange metal at this point. How are we all, fellas? Oh,
jovial.
Even after reading this week's pick?
Well, that's kind of why. I think I may have gone slightly insane.
Yeah, I think we've all gone a little mad sometimes.
Wait till you hear what we have to think about this book.
Yeah, wait till you get a load of this.
This is where it ends, right?
This is the last episode of We are retiring after this
no,
book.
No, David, this is not where it ends. read the book, people.
That's a reference to the book.
It's getting very hot in this studio, so I'm going to get into I'm going to get into the air-conditioned Wayback Machine and take us back not as far this time. Let's here we go.
Colonel Fury, sir, S.H.I.E.L.D. agent at Alexander Goodwin Pierce. I'm pleased to inform you that your intelligent priority code has been reactivated. They've asked you to resume your post as S.H.I.E.L.D.'s public director, effective immediately.
Well, unfortunately, Pierce, you're going to have to tell S.H.I.E.L.D. to shovel it up their collective end zones. They put me out to pasture 5 years ago. Didn't they brief you on that particular piece of intel?
Sir... So these orders come from the President himself.
President?
Yes, sir.
Answer's the same. Now, why don't you take your blow dryer and get the hell out of my afternoon sun?
Always a pleasure to see the old warhorse chewing out the troops.
So they sent you too, Contessa. Contessa Valentino de Allegra Fontaine. What a mouthful when you try and wrap your tongue around it. Don't let the blue blood fool you, Pierce. Val's an old hand at the sexpionage game, aren't you?
It's been a long time, Nick.
You don't look any worse for wear.
We need you back.
Maybe I've gotten used to the wilderness.
I think he's right. I think he is the greatest Nick Fury. His acting style is to punctuate every sentence with us.
You know, I actually, there's a lot of pauses in between sentences I cut out for the purposes of the show.
It reminds you of like Orlando Bloom's acting, doesn't it?
We are finding where to go. Otherwise, I have spent years training for these swords.
Do you have the map, Elizabeth?
That clip otherwise would have gone for about 3 minutes. Otherwise, had I let all the gaps.
Wow, I actually forgot how bad that was. It's been a while since I've seen it.
Now,
it was...
normally the Wayback Machine is set for you know, anything from the 80s backwards, but this was only 1998. People,
a scary thought.
This is back when Marvel was almost broke. This is just before Blade. Let's forget.
This is also the same era that brought us Generation X, which was awful as well.
So but it also brought us Blade, which was
on television.
Bad. Oh, television.
In television. Because remember,
this was made for television.
This was made for TV. And they also did Generation X around this time, which was after the X-Men was being touted for the cinema.
Yeah.
Marvel kind of went, oh, we need to have our own thing. So off they went. And there was also a Mutant X that was made for TV as well. Oh, these are all terrible.
Mm.
Terrible.
Not so long ago. So if you think your superhero movies are bad now, people, we got a good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we got very good. All right, people, I think we've got a lot to talk about in terms of what we've been reading this week. And if not a lot to talk about, a lot to say about what we have been reading.
Yeah.
So I'm going to hit up a section we traditionally call What We've Been Reading, and I see no reason to change that this week.
Okay.
Well, looks like we got ourselves a reader. Read between the lines, bitch.
When I was reading Between the Lines this week, one of the books that we read, and Mr. Longo here excitedly told us to make sure we had read it this week, was one of the Villains Month books, which was Batman number 23.3, also known as Penguin.
Yes.
And now this is a book that I would not have given the light of day had I not received the text message.
Yes. I don't know why I gave it the time of day either. I just compulsively read all of them.
I get it because I got Batman on standing order at my comic shop, so it just comes in.
I'm successfully avoiding most of the Villains Month.
You're doing well. You're not missing a lot. But this one, the reason
as you said before the show, you read one, you've read them all.
Read them all. Exactly. Yeah. It's like, you know, something painful in their past.
Except for this one, Penguin.
Well, there was still, you still had a painful childhood memory in there,
yes,
which was, you know, about being beaten, bullied at school. And that somehow tied into what was happening today, you know, via a bloodbath.
Yeah.
And that was the reason you told us we should probably talk about it, because it's a very violent book.
It is an extraordinarily violent book. What does it not have in terms of violence?
Not a lot.
It's got a suicide on live TV, a decapitation of a...
It's got a full body shot where everything comes out the backside of the person.
Mm. And it's so cavalier in the way it's done, too. Like, the Penguin shoots someone in the back and goes, oh, it's been 3 years since I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, like...
what was that last line where he goes, did they have a family? And she goes, yes, I believe so. He goes, not anymore. Make sure. Yeah. Take care of that, will you?
So the body count on this alone is probably more than, you know, the Man of Steel film.
And you know, it's the first time, it's first time they've actually made...
I didn't break anyone's neck.
No.
So
no.
I think since the New 52 started, there was that miniseries of Penguin, but it didn't do anything for me. But I think this is the first time we've actually seen Penguin as a badass.
Mm. Yeah, because he's been very neutered in Detective Comics, I think, is the book. This is actually fun. This is the first time he's appeared in Batman since the relaunch.
Mm.
He's been in Catwoman, I think.
Detective Comics, that whole Emperor Penguin storyline was playing out in that. And now this is him back on form, and they're trying to paint him as a badass, saying, like, this is what Penguin can do when he's firing.
Because Penguin is a vicious little thing. He's a vicious little mofo, as I would say.
And I like the way that they didn't mind drawing him as that old caricature with the long nose and everything. So he is very much...
really dark eyes.
Yeah, and they've...
Like that sniveling, you know, evil...
Mm, yeah. It's like the last panel is actually really... The last panel of the last page is him sort of dimly lit with his shadow covering half of his face. And it's kind of almost the, wait till they get a load of me moment. And it really is that... spooky kind of like, yeah, they put, if nothing else, this issue puts Penguin back as a force to be reckoned with.
And now what I would like to see is I'd like to see Snyder take that character and run with it in Batman.
Hell yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going to happen, except not for another 8 months until this whole 0 year thing's finished.
Until second year starts or
second
whatever.
Second year.
We're up to year five.
Year one's already been done, so he'll skip it. He'll do second
year. Two
year.
Was done, but they retconned it.
<That's true. laughs> There's heaps of years, don't worry.
Batman year 17.
Batman, the high school year.
I want to see a series called The Iceberg.
I'm going to the Batlocker. I've been locked in the Batlocker again.
Would you guys read a series called The Iceberg Casino?
Yeah.
It's like Babylon 5 or something like that.
Yeah. I'd totally read that, yeah. down at the iceberg. Iceberg Casino.
Nobody wins in the Iceberg Casino. Really.
I love the fact that the opening couple of pages are him bemoaning the fact that people are winning.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that.
It's like, I'll just kill them. Did you guys actually like the issue?
I did.
Yeah.
I actually
thought, having said all that.
Yeah. After all that, I think.
Because the violence is not necessarily a negative aspect. It's just like a surprising one.
No, it was surprising. And it was surprising.
Because the Villains Month has been violent.
And Villains Month has been. It really has felt like a zero year issue for most villains. And this didn't. This felt like this is something that's happening currently in the Batman chronology.
Actually, because I did a review for this one for Newsarama. And one of the things I said, it was one of the few books that's actually acknowledged that the Justice League are gone. Batman's gone.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, they actually have that line where he says, Batman's been gone for a while and crime is running rampant in the city.
So they actually acknowledge that, where all the other books sort of take you back 10 years or something. So, or more.
Look, I hassle Villains Month. I have read a few of them. I just, overall, they've left me kind of cold.
Well, it's like you said last week, they've run out of gimmicks, and this is just the latest in a long line.
Yeah, absolutely. And I really can't wait till the month 23 is over.
Oh,
yeah.
Can't wait.
And then we get back to everything, because I mean, I'm waiting for Earth 2 to start up again, because I want to see Tom Taylor's
work. I'm waiting for Zero Year to finish
in Batman. I was in the middle of some stories.
And the new 52 to finish.
Yeah, well,
the new 49 at the moment?
Something like that. I want to get back to Batgirl. We're right in the middle of a really good story in Batgirl, we've taken it away from me, you know?
There are a handful of titles that have actually got some good, decent stories going on at the moment.
Yeah. We talked about Gail Simone earlier today with the interview that we did earlier today. And it's like, I just want to get back to these stories now.
And we should mention, while we've mentioned the interview, we interviewed today Laramie Taylor, and that'll go out as a one-shot special on the podcast feed. He's written a book called A Voice in the Dark. Now, this is not coming out until November from Top Cow Image.
Which is something else we read this week.
It's something else we read this week for the interview. We were very lucky to get an early copy of that. And fascinating interview. Definitely check that out on the podcast feed.
If you avoid some of our one-shots because you just want to hear the main show, no, listen to this one. This one's actually got some really good stuff in it.
Not least of which is because Laramie Taylor, apart from writing a creator-owned book that got picked up by Top Cow, who were notoriously known for just doing their own stuff, he writes, draws, and tones all of his books with his mouth because he's been disabled since birth.
Yeah.
And his story about how he does that, apart from being inspirational, it's just a really good fun listen about creator-owned comics, getting into the industry, and where ideas come from.
And he has so much to say about it, too. I mean, he just, you get him rolling and he'll just keep talking
about
it.
We spoke for another 20 minutes after the show, and he obviously loves comics.
Yeah.
So check out that interview. He's also a listener to the show, so hi, Laramie.
Hi, Laramie.
The other book that we have to talk about, we've done DC, we have to talk about Marvel as well, Daredevil 31.
Yep. All I have to say about Daredevil 31 is,
bloody hell.
Foggy!
All right, spoilers here, people. You know we talk about comic books with spoilers and all, but my God, that last panel, what the hell?
Yeah, well, look, the last panel, for those of you, okay, big spoiler warning, if you haven't read Daredevil 31
yet,
or you're waiting for the trade,
a couple of minutes.
We're going to give you a couple of seconds to pull over the car and stop.
And we'll punctuate it with this. All right, so when you hear that again, that'll be well out of the spoiler
zone. Now, it's been a really good, I mean, look, this book hasn't put a foot wrong in 31 months. Mm-hmm. This issue is sort of picking up from the storyline that's been happening with this sort of network of people that seem to be controlling everything in New York, you know, the justice system. And this is kind of taking a little bit of a sidestep, and there's been a court case very similar to the recent Zimmerman trial in Florida with the
Trayvon killing.
Yeah, and the whole thing. And so that's a very similar case to that has happened in New York. The person's been found innocent, and then it seems as though the DA has gone and then publicly announced all the members of the jury.
It's their fault,
go and hunt them down. Except the problem is that everybody who was actually there for the press conference knows he didn't actually do that. It was a fake broadcast, completely unrecognizable to the average schmo. Starts a riot across New York, and one of your favorite scenes was the rain that stops
that Hank Pym sort of created, because they're in the middle of a heat wave, kind of like what we are in the studio right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've got Daredevil calling Avengers basically saying, can we have Thor bring down the rain?
Yeah.
And Thor is not around because of Infinity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so Hank Pym says, I'll send somebody there to help out, and of course sends an enormous ant
to go and seed some clouds, and, which is a great little
But it's just so beautifully drawn.
Oh,
and it's what's his name? He won the Eisner recently.
Sumney.
Yeah, for art, Chris Sumney.
Chris Sumney. Yeah, he's done that. And it's so that arc is anyway, doing well. Yeah. Well, between Sumney and Javier Rodriguez, who have alternated as artists, and Rodriguez is the colorist for Somni's art as well. So they're a dynamic team. They're doing some beautiful work on that book. But the big moment at the end of this, they suspect that the jester's behind all of this, and then...
Well, let's set it up really quickly, though.
So if you've been reading Daredevil, you know for the last few issues, Foggy has been diagnosed with cancer. Yes. He's in hospital, and it's a really touching story.
And to a lot of ways, Wade is kind of preparing us that he may not be around forever.
Exactly. And I mean, for the long-term Daredevil, we're just going to go, oh my God, this is Foggy, you can't do it. But you know what? This is how you take out a character.
How many people has... Daredevil lost over the years.
Yeah,
lost,
exactly. You know, and you look at it and go, though, if you're going to take out a legendary character, if you're going to take out a character who we've all been following for years and years and years, this is kind of how you do it. It's the same thing with Captain Marvel when they kill Captain Marvel. You build up to it, and we're having this really beautiful Foggy in hospital stuff.
And the great thing about this rain thing is that it literally washes out the trial riot storyline and makes you focus down on.
And you get to this beautiful moment where Foggy goes to a group therapy session and gives them all Daredevil t-shirts, and they has this beautiful inspirational talk with them all about how he, you know, his friend has always never seen fear, and you've got to be, you know, you've got to stick with it and blah blah blah, and you go, this is beautiful, this is lovely stuff, and of course Matt Murdock shows up at the end of that saying, I heard the end of your speech and it was lovely, and he can't see what's on the t-shirts, of course, so you know that's also kind of poignant as well.
Yeah, and Foggy won't tell him. He says don't worry about what's
on the t-shirts anyway. So we get to this last panel. So Daredevil has tracked down the jester to this house. Or what he believes, he's tracked down the jester to this house. And he opens the door and he actually says, if I know anything about the jester, he's going to have something planned for me. And I don't know what I'm going to find behind this door. And you turn the page.
And from our point of view.
And from our point of view, we're looking from in the house to outside. And you see Daredevil just opening the door. And there's goddamn Foggy hanging from a noose.
In the Daredevil t-shirt.
Yeah. And the little note pinned to the chair that just says, Maddie.
Yeah.
And you just go, oh my God, my heart just broke.
Yeah.
It's like, what the
hell? So if he's not just playing us, we've got 30 days now because the book's just literally just come out. So if he's not playing us, my God, that's a moment.
Mm. Yeah, and John Favreau just got out of a job, but you know.
Yeah.
He's still got Happy Hogan, man. Let's see what Kieran Gillen does in the next.
I think Joss Whedon will probably kill off Happy in the next film.
What was your reaction when you hit this? No, I texted immediately, said, read Daredevil 31 now.
I was just like, I couldn't get that ending. I know Wade's done that to us before, but I kind of. If he has done it for real this time,
I accept it.
I accept it because, as I said, he'd already prepared. He's been preparing us for months for the departure of Foggy, and then it's such a Wade move to the go. Yeah, but not how you thought he was going to go.
Yeah, you know.
So if this is the end of Foggy Nelson, it sort of ties in with, you know, when the way Matt's always lost people.
We know that is not a suicide note, because Foggy, I don't think, would have killed himself.
No.
Period. So this is Jester doing it, if he's doing it. So what's in that note to start with?
Yeah.
And two, the other question that bears answering is, if half of his face is in shadow, is it really Foggy?
That's the thing. I mean, I'm not entirely convinced yet. We'll find out next
but
month.
But he's in the Daredevil t-shirt, which really kind of broke my heart.
How would you guys feel if it wasn't Foggy?
If it wasn't Foggy, I'd still think it was a good cliffhanger. And it was a good...
That question is good, that because it all depends on how it's resolved.
Mm. Yeah.
Because it could be a giant cop-out.
Yeah.
But so far, Wade hasn't marked... Hasn't taken a wrong step.
As you said, decoy. Richard, 31 issues
without a misstep. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, I mean, literally the best comic of now of the last 3 years.
Mm. This and Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, Daredevil's been doing it for about a year longer. And it's still...
And this is the one comic that Marvel now came and went and all that sort of stuff. Mm. This never...
And Hawkeye's missed a few months, you know.
Well, that's right. But Daredevil never skipped a beat.
Marvel now came, it didn't miss a beat.
It just kept going like nothing else mattered.
It's almost the one they didn't touch.
It
was the Green Lantern of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
And I think they knew. I mean, that's the thing. Marvel knows what they've got right there. And I think they know what they've got with Hawkeye, which is why they're not pushing out Hawkeye issues, even though Fraction isn't there writing them at the moment. They're just said, it'll come when it comes.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's what Marvel...
That's a great...
I think it's what Marvel does better than DC, quite frankly. Marvel actually respects their creators a little bit more by the looks of it.
Yeah.
I'm speaking completely out of school. I don't work for either of these companies, so please don't, you know? But from what my perception is from outside of the industry, is I look at it and go... DC doesn't seem to give a dollar squat about its creators. This is evidenced by the fact that they fired Gail Simone and then brought her back. You know what I mean? It's like, they don't seem to care. Whereas Marvel does seem to care about its creators.
Yeah, agreed.
And the fact that they seem to care, they'll go, okay, well, we need to take a pause while you get your act together.
Well, I think more to the point is they seem to care about the readers by putting great creative teams on these important books and then letting them do their thing.
Absolutely. Let's take us out of this. Any more spoilers about this final page?
No.
Okay, we'll just play the sound again. Okay, so we're back to where we were, which is spoilers in all people, but not major spoilers.
Things you missed, people.
if you are worried about missing them, go back and read Daredevil 31. And if you haven't read Daredevil yet, go back and read the 30 issues before that.
Absolutely. So. Look, if there was any book that you wanted to go back and catch up on, this is the book to go back and catch up on.
I just want to quickly throw out just a couple of other things worth reading that came out this week. There'd be Zero, number one, from Image Comics. Mm-hmm. I won't get into that. I'll put up a review on the site soon, but it's by Alice Cott. It's hard to say. It's A-L-E-S-K-O-T. He did a book a couple of years ago called Wild Children, which is really good. And this one's got art by Jordi Belair, who's beautiful art. Kind of not too dissimilar to Chris Omni stuff. Mm. So go check that out. There was a book out from Dark Horse, I think, this week called Kiss Me Satan. I have to go and check that out.
Oh, I've got a copy of that.
I've got it too.
I haven't had a look at it yet.
Go check those out. But that, everything else, all the latest reviews.
Are you guys reading Jason Aaron's 4?
I haven't.
Thor God of Thunder?
No. Yeah.
I read the first 2 or 3 issues of it and I've been collecting them.
Can I just say it is unbelievably good.
Well, the God Killer arc that they were starting with.
And the God Bomb afterwards.
I read and I was really getting into it, but there was so much to read I kind of fell away and now I'm a few issues behind. I've got to go back and catch up. But Thor is something that I tend to power through in clumps.
Yeah.
I fell out of Thor a while ago, then came back on J. Michael Straczynski's run and literally read all of them in one hit. And then, you know, it's like, so that's how I read Thor. So I will go back and catch up with all of Thor. I find Thor is something that you need to read in groups.
It actually would be good with this one, but that's what I read this week too. So I really liked the new issue.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool. So for everything else we've been reading, hit up the website behindthepanels.net when I can be bothered updating it. hit up the review section. You can also find
us on... What's that, Richard, every 20 minutes?
Not this week so much.
GTA 5, people.
GTA 5.
Yeah, that's all we're going to say is GTA 5.
It's a bit of a time sucker. You can also hit up comicbookroundup.com and see all the reviews that we put up there because they compare reviews from all over the web. Folks, this is the time of the show where we look at the news headlines and, you know, we could do that if we want to.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, do you want to?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, let's do it.
Dr. Octopus will return in October with the Indestructible Hulk Special number 1. What does this mean for Superior Spider-Man? Probably nothing.
Warner CEO Kevin Sugihara has confirmed that DC Entertainment will inform many of their 12 to 14 cinema releases each year for the foreseeable future. That's not to say there'll be 12 to 14 DC releases, but there will be a fair chunk of them.
The Injustice digital comic has wrapped up, but Australian creator Tom Taylor promises a return to the weekly book in 2014. I hope so.
Yay! Legendary artist George Perez has reported that he has lost almost all sight in his left eye. He will require surgery, and Behind the Panels wishes him all the best for speedy recovery.
All the best, George. Twilight star Christian Serratos joins The Walking Dead Season 4 as Rosita Espinosa. Meanwhile, AMC announces plans for a spin-off series in 2015. Of course they do.
Joss Whedon was reportedly brought in to rewrite troublesome scenes in Thor: The Dark World. You can take the boy out of script doctoring, but you can't take script doctoring out of the boy.
Broadway musical Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark has killed another cat. No, sorry. Has cast Justin Matthew Sargent as the new Peter Parker, replacing Reeve Carney in the leading role. My question is, what happened to Reeve Carney?
He's in a cupboard somewhere. Rumors of an Agent Carter ongoing TV series from Marvel have surfaced, although it isn't known whether or not Hayley Atwell will reprise her role if this is picked up.
Well, if Hayley Atwell's not in it, you know I'm not watching it.
Yeah. That'd be great, though. I think it'd be great.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Parallel series. Because if you've seen the one shot that's on the
And if you haven't seen the one shot, go buy the Blu-ray now, people.
That's the Iron Man 3 Blu-ray, people.
Yes, absolutely.
Definitely check that out. The story that we all kind of want to talk about, I guess, is the fact that they're doing rewrites so late in the Thor the Dark World.
Yeah, because my understanding of the film industry, I mean, Longo and I both come from a filmmaking background, is this film would be a lock by now.
And I've seen films.
Yeah, when you've seen films. Yeah. But the point is that this film would be...
He's done some filmmaking too.
Yeah, and you've done some filmmaking. This film would be a lock at this point. Because we would already be in composing, post-production is done. This is released in a month. If this isn't locked at this point, there's a real problem.
Didn't they even like rewrite some scenes for Tom Hiddleston, or they wanted to include like 20 minutes extra?
But that was at least while they were shooting.
I mean, this is only coming out now. It could have happened a while ago. But you were saying they literally helicoptered him in, airdropped him in.
Yeah, can you imagine if he lapelled down?
Oh, right. Yeah. But my
problem with that is
he's coming in like a Joss.
Okay, how much would it have cost to have flown Joss Whedon to the set of Four? How much would it have cost?
A lot. Where he could have just
gone on the email and just gone, the script needs work.
Or he could have just had a broadband connection and talk with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's going to happen? Joss is here. It's okay. Yeah. We can relax.
Comes in with a cape and a mask on.
He's kind of got sort of like aromatherapy. Yeah. He just sort of gives off incense when he arrives.
It's the Joss field.
I mean, I'm the one that's negative on this because I didn't like the first movie that much.
Heathen.
But but why is it called The Dark World first?
Because it's the Dark Elves.
But it's the Dark Realm.
That's true.
It's like we as audiences are not going to understand what a realm is. We should put world there?
Couldn't understand what a philosopher was.
That's right.
Harry Potter. Yeah.
Let's be very clear.
Harry Potter. Harry Potter. It's called Harry Potter.
Harry Potter and the School
let's
of Wizards.
Let's not forget, Longo, that when it comes to the comic book adaptations, they actually talked about this in many interviews where they say that the readership of a comic book might be in the hundreds of thousands, but the viewership of a movie will be in the millions.
Yeah.
So we're taking into account that nobody understands anything about Thor, the mass market that's going to this, that only probably 5% of the people have ever read a Thor comic book.
Yeah.
So they're going to go, what the hell is
a Dark
Realm?
You know,
we
had a meeting and Realm didn't market well with the readers. And,
Excelsior!
We found that Realm was just Realm didn't play well with the 18 to 24 demographic.
It doesn't work with
the kids. Wait, what's the elf world called? The elf realm?
I can't remember, but it's probably something...
Svartal Elm or something.
Right? Yeah. Something completely unpronounceable.
In the movie, it's going to be like, let's go to the elf world. It's like, let's go to Asgard. What's Asgard? Oh, remember in the first movie, Asgard is the name that was given to the place that the gods live in.
Asgard is only two syllables long.
Okay? Until Asgardia at the end of this one.
In the first movie, I loved it every time they said,
Jotunheim.
Jotunheim. Yeah. And someone flipped a table after saying it, right?
Yeah.
You didn't like the first Thor?
I didn't hate it. Like, hate is
but
a
it's got
word.
Kat Dennings in it.
No, I actually liked like the story and the design and all these elements and the cast. I just thought Kenneth Branagh's direction was too much.
I'm not a huge fan of Natalie Portman. Canted I just
camera.
Want to get that out there.
I like Natalie Portman. Like
I hated one element, which was that sidekick Kat Dennings crap.
Meow meow.
What is this? Oh, Facebook.
This girl on Facebook.
Actually, I think she was needed because I think what made Thor work was that it was so funny, and that
true. The humor really saved it.
Otherwise, it would have been a tall blonde guy walking round and talking like this the whole time. And
which
would
have been cool.
Oh, get over yourself, mate. get on your horse and leave.
But he's got an Australian accent to begin with.
Yeah, it's true.
Thor walked a very fine line. It was probably the second hardest book to pull off.
Totally.
As a movie, the first being Captain America. Because Captain America is basically just a giant flag wrapped in a person. No, a person wrapped in a flag.
Yeah.
The point is that it's so cheesy in concept that to make that work is really hard, and I think they did that very successfully as well. Thor, on the other hand, is we've grounded all of the Marvel comic books in Iron Man, right? We basically said it's a real world and it's all plausible in some way, and then we say into this plausible world we're going to throw a god. That doesn't fly.
But
that's not what
I'm talking about, though. All those elements, I think, work.
But I think by putting humor into it, by putting the sidekick character and stuff like that, it made it accessible to the general public. And I think the general public kind of went, the fact that she's making fun of it, it's okay that I can think that it's kind of amusing.
She was us. Yeah.
She was us.
Yeah.
And I think that was, and now what we can
I
do
just
is,
thought it was cheesy.
Well, I think
what,
now
done.
That we've had Avengers, we can now have a very deadly serious Thor, which is, I think, what we're aiming
for. That's a very perfect example, though. I think that Joss Whedon nailed it.
Yeah.
Nailed it. And he got away with all of that stuff. It wasn't by making fun of the elements of the story was having another character say something like, oh, Shakespeare in the Park, like,
yeah. But remember, pointing out but to the audience
the joke, not making a joke of games. It.
Yeah, exactly. You know? But remember, he already had Thor to draw on.
Yeah.
So if he didn't have the Thor movie, none of that would have worked.
Yeah.
Because we had to establish that character first. If you just tried to throw Thor into the Avengers without having the previous Thor movie, people would have gone, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But see, the way that they introduce him in the first film, like Asgard, all of those things are great. Mm. I think they're really good. It's when he gets to Earth and it just turns into like a sci-fi channel.
But that's the hardest part to pull off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's where it weakens. But the introduction of the character, setting up the world, his mythology, they really nailed. Mm. It's just the storyline itself is very tame.
The good news is, from what
in my opinion. It's
that's fine. Yeah. That's absolutely fine. Yeah.
Well, no, it's invalid because you're outnumbered.
You're wrong!
the beautiful thing is...
Kat Dennings. That's it. Yeah, a picture can't satisfy.
The beautiful thing is that it looks like a lot of Thor the Dark World is actually going to take place in... that realm.
Yes. And you're going to go get the elves and everything.
Exactly. Oh, why did you bring that picture up? Sorry, we're just looking at pictures of...
Christian Serratos.
Yes, Christian Serratos. And she is a very fine-looking woman.
I'm sure she's a talented actress.
And I'm sure
that's
she is.
That's why she's been hired.
Funny thing is, I don't remember her from The Walking Dead at all.
Just back on the
character. Yeah. I remember Rosita. Yeah, she was kind of like the sort of... sort of like she was kind of like a grease monkey kind of character. She had always had her sleeves rolled up and the bandana in her head, and she was always fixing stuff. And she was
in the series,
yeah,
in the comic book. Oh, in the comic book, right?
Yeah, I'm she's been added as a new character.
Oh, she's not in the. That's why I can't remember her.
She's been added to season four. She's not the spin-off story is completely different.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah,
all right.
No. Just back on the Dark World quickly. Didn't you tell me something about Christopher Eccleston? And being difficult to work with.
I'd heard, well, I don't know if he was difficult to work with, but I know he had problems with Doctor Who.
Yeah.
But he's always maintained, I don't know whether that was him or the producers, apparently he had some falling out with them. So I don't know what the issue was with that. Perhaps the reason they brought Loki back is they needed, you know, a slightly more likable villain in there as well. I don't know.
It's just because, like, I didn't want to review the first movie. We were talking about...
No. I've never actually asked your opinion of the Thor movie, so it's very interesting to hear it. But I actually really liked it.
Oh, sorry.
Hello.
I just wanted to
look,
hear
I know you don't like the film. Yeah.
Stop tearing down the studio.
Oh, man.
No, because I actually think the second one looks really good.
So far, all
these behind the scenes stories are kind of...
No, I agree. So far, it's trailered really well. The posters look really good, but I'm getting very worried about some of these.
All I can say is we're all entitled to our opinions, even if yours are wrong, Dave. So,
I really love Jonathan Hickman.
So good. Oh. Speaking of which, we probably do need to move on
Before you move on, I just want to address one of these other stories very quickly. Which is this whole Walking Dead spin-off thing. What is with AMC and spin-offs? Because they've already started saying...
My understanding is the next series is going to be about one of the characters wants to work out how to make a bit of profit in the Walking Dead universe, so starts making meth.
I heard it was actually his lawyer. Apparently they are talking about a Better Breaking Bad spin-off.
No, not talking about official.
About the lawyer.
Yeah, it was greenlit the other week.
Oh,
I'm a massive Breaking Bad fan.
How do you feel about a spin-off?
I don't think it's needed at all.
No.
At all whatsoever. They have announced that it's a prequel to him, and he's a great character, but he's a supporting character.
Yeah.
Who works really well in a supporting role.
When you consider that AMC is nothing without Breaking Bad, Walking Dead, and Mad Men.
Which also Mad Men is going to be split into
two seasons. And you look at all their major series are getting spin-offs. Rather than just make some new product.
And talking shows about it afterwards.
And talking shows about it.
Yeah. The one thing I said, I am genuinely interested to see what's happening in another part of the Walking Dead world.
Yeah,
I think that would be interesting. And if they do that, that's a show that I could get down
to. But I think David Longley's right. I think it's going to end up being one of the characters like Daryl
going off
into his own show.
They'll have him in the first episode just to go, hey, gang, just here to send you off and wish you farewell.
I'm going
How mad would it be
now
if he just shoots his crossbow in the air go?
I don't really want to move on to the pick of the week this week.
No, I don't either.
It's not great, but...
Can we talk more about Kat Dennings?
No! Yeah.
Let's just take a deep breath and do this, shall we? All right, ready? Let's do it.
All right.
Well, see how you like this! What is it, Batman?
Whatever it is, it's awfully funny.
It's the pick of the week.
Since Imhotep quelled the brood invasion of 2620, the safety and security of the human race has rested in the hands of one secret organization. Passing the torch from the likes of Leonardo da Vinci to Galileo, it comes to pass that the latest incarnation is a young man named Leonid in the 1950s. Written by Jonathan Hickman and Dustin Weaver, this is Shelter. This is Security. This just really confuses us. This is S.H.I.E.L.D. We think.
Oh, that's brilliant.
As that guy was saying, I have no idea what this book's about.
Now, all I know is that there's a whole bunch of historical figures that keep turning up and seem to have magic powers. And so
appropriately, I recorded that in the bathroom. This book is sort of confirms everything that I've sort of had problems with Jonathan Hickman's writing for a long time. When we were both reading, David and I were both starting to read Avengers at the urging of Dave, we got to this point where we both looked at each other and said, do you know what's going on? And I was like, no, I don't, but I feel compelled to finish it because it ties into something.
Let me see if I can summarize Hickman. This goes for the Avengers or S.H.I.E.L.D. that we're talking about right now. But my summary of Hickman is disjointed storylines with different time periods and lots of people who glow under the skin.
Yes.
You know, the only thing this book is missing is chapter headings.
Yes. Don't worry, there's incredibly detailed schematics at the end of them.
In this book, I could have used chapter headings to try to figure out where I was. But I think Longo summed it up at the beginning when he basically said you need a chart to understand it.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, you know, every Hickman book I've read is like, scene, here's a scene, here's a scene, here's a scene. I'm cleverer. Yeah. It's kind of like,
here is Black Bolt speaking.
It's a book. And,
although, I'm going to say, can I just say I love Infinity? I just love it.
Infinity.
I'm just going to put it out there.
No, it's funny. I was talking to my local comic book store guy the other day about Infinity. And he's like, what do you think of it? And I was saying, I'm actually kind of enjoying it. I think, you know, compared to the other events that are happening at the moment, it's pretty good. It's pretty fun. He's going, yeah, it's the first thing I've read from Hickman that makes any sense to me.
Because he had to do months of like understanding prior.
But I didn't understand any of the build up to Infinity.
No.
Not any. I didn't understand any of the Avengers, what was going on there. Now that Infinity itself is okay. Mm. You know?
Yeah, but S.H.I.E.L.D. on the other hand.
Yes, sorry.
S.H.I.E.L.D.? Yeah. Whoo!
Now, we picked this for a reason. We picked it because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the TV series, is starting. Well, this week, by the time this podcast comes out.
And boy, did we choose the wrong book.
And we thought, we'll do something S.H.I.E.L.D. We probably should have watched Nick Fury and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., the 1998
film. Or Red
film.
Fury Max. Or something. Or something. Something that was actually more related to S.H.I.E.L.D.
This
would
is, I
be
mean,
a good
the
idea.
Title is, you know, S period, H period, I period, you know, etc. But the actual S.H.I.E.L.D. that's in there, as far as we can tell, doesn't have anything to do with the S.H.I.E.L.D. yet. Mostly because the book isn't finished, and it probably never will be.
Okay, so I will, in its defense, and it's a very indefensible book, but in its defense, I will say that in Volume 2, which we're not talking about today, but in Volume 2, which is incomplete, it doesn't have a last two issues, but in Issue 2, you've read Issue 2?
Yes.
Volume 2?
Yep.
There's that one sequence where they travel through time, and for one splash page, we see superheroes and Nick Fury, and we see S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in the way they're supposed to dress, and then it's all gone.
Yeah. But what did it mean, Dave?
But what did it mean? And then in Volume 2, you've got the sequence where they play out the same scene four times in four different realities.
And it's the same panels for each.
But just a different background behind them. And you're going, I've read this before. My head hurts.
Oh, the pain.
Do you know what I think the book was distinctly lacking? People who glow.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't enough of that. Although they did rectify that when Nostradamus finally drank from the pool and then he started to glow too. So, you know, Hickman's got an obsession with people glowing. Mm. He does it in the Avengers. People are glowing all over the place. Or they've got stars under their skin.
Maybe he grew up next to like a nuclear power plant.
Or he's dropped way too much acid, one of the two.
That would explain a lot.
Yeah. No, it's incomprehensible.
What we've heard about Jonathan Hickman is that he plans things out well in advance. If that's the case,
can you imagine if he planned out like 100 issues?
What? Yeah, it would have turned up and it's like, oh my god, here's our big arch enemy. The person who's behind it, it's Edgar Allan Poe. Of course it is.
Yeah, well, it's funny, and it's so funny you say that, because those are exactly the words that came out of my mouth. I'm reading it. And the Eternal Man is telling his story. The man is glowing, and finally he says, "And my name is Michelangelo." And I just went, "Of course it is."
Yeah, you had to go and bring the Ninja Turtles into it.
We've already had Da Vinci, and we've already had Tesla, and we've already had all these people.
Okay, I love that. It just cuts to, "And you have to save Nikola Tesla." And I'm like, what the?
Who was it that was like chained up for 1,000 years?
Nostradamus. And I like the fact
that's probably what Hickman feels like now that he can't finish this story.
Well, I love the fact that Nostradamus, it's like the Da Vinci goes to him, because of course he does. Da Vinci, let's specify in this book, has magical wooden wings and can fly to the sun and travel through time because. He can build things, to quote the book. I build things.
Should we try and summarize?
No.
Where do you begin? Like, it's got Howard Stark.
Which doesn't fit in canon at all. We got Howard Stark, and I forget what the name of the other guy.
I think it's Nathaniel Richards.
Who's presumably
Reed Richards. Someone.
Yeah, somebody to Reed Richards. And they're basically time traveling. So you've got all these people in these,
and there's a woman,
the olden times, but they're in suits and ties.
And there's a woman who can turn into a bird who hangs out with Nikola Tesla.
She's kind of hot though.
She's kind of hot, yeah. But she turns into a dove, and she hangs out with Nikola Tesla and gets quite upset when stuff happens to him.
And what I think is really funny is when you read volume two.
Oh, I'm doing it justice, right?
I'm going back to the comic now. I just need to make sure I've read it.
You know what? I haven't read it. I'm just assuming this happens.
When you read volume two, there's actually a page where Da Vinci basically summarizes the whole thing up. It's like we've gone back in time, and he goes, "This is the key. You'll only make one copy of these. You'll build this city, but you can only have this one door." All these things that we've had to deal with over six issues. And suddenly you go, "Oh, this was all planned." And you go, I think I'm following you. But now in ancient times, when we're in the Dark Ages, basically you're building a life model decoy.
Yeah.
Somehow you're doing this, and I don't understand how you're getting the technology.
And the thing is, because it's not finished, we don't know whether this all ties in, whether it's established that it was an alternate timeline, whether we're established any of these things. All we know is that it seems to be the basis of the ancient organization of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which means it doesn't actually stand for Strategic Homeland, whatever.
No, it just means they really wanted to use S.H.I.E.L.D. as an acronym.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in this, it's literally, the East is a shield and the West is the spear.
Mm.
And it's a shield and spear. And it's where the acronym came from, I have no idea. And it bears relevance to the title.
The modern thing is shield and sword, because there is an organization called Sword. But
there you go. Swords up in space, though.
Yeah, well, you know, who knows? I mean, he could have made it up there on his wooden wings.
But Howard Stark and Nathaniel Richards work for S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, Howard Stark apparently did at some point, but not time traveling around Da Vinci and stuff.
According to Jonathan Hickman, he did.
Well, Jonathan Hickman's a douchebag.
I don't know him personally.
I don't either, but I tell you what.
His writing is wanting.
He's douchey.
Yeah. Well, it really is. It sort of trades.
I don't mean. Look, Mr. Hickman, if you want to come on our show and let us interview
you.
I would love to have you on here, because you could explain it to us. It's nothing personal. This book sucks.
And we like Jonathan Hickman. We like East of West.
East of West is great.
East of West.
Infinity's got some really good stuff in it. You know, it's like, but this book, I understand why he didn't finish it. I almost feel like he went, nah.
Apparently, because the artist has actually said, Dustin Weaver has said that he got to the end of issue 4 of volume 2.
Stop.
And there was no script for volume 5.
Got sick of drawing glowing.
No,
people?
There was just no script.
This was done with the Marvel method.
And then he said there was no script, so he couldn't continue. He was ready to go. And then apparently, Hickman's ended up, obviously, you know, building the Marvel Universe into the orbit at the moment. So, like, that's taken over. Whether or not at the end of all that he'll come back and it's like, the last two issues of Infinity, close up S.H.I.E.L.D.
You know? What I love is the fact that the last page of
That's Infinity's all been about.
Just to bring this back.
I love the fact that the last
That's what it'll be. Like, it'll be fun. Like, Thanos comes down and finds the sun that he's looking for, and it's Leonardo da Vinci.
No, it's the star child that grew in the sun.
All these famous historian people, they have an infinity gem each. Like Da Vinci has like the mind gem, and yeah, that's Nostradamus has the soul gem.
And they are doing multiversity, so they might go into their universe and then bring it back. I love the scene where it's like some guy is just humping an alien, and just for no reason. Just
well, no, so that they could blend cultures.
Blend
or
cultures,
something.
And I just think like it was just thrown in there at that point. There was no background to it. It comes back later when she's saying, "You not take child from me," and it's just such a dumb book that just leaps from like scene to scene to scene. It really he's traded off like his attempt at profundity for some kind of he traded off an attempt at profundity for narrative because it has none. It is just a series of scenes that seem to stand there and want admiration without any corresponding connection to the audience. And that's true. The thing that he forgets. I think Hickman often forgets that at the end of the day, as good as his ideas are, and there's some great ideas in here, let's not mince words, because he has actually got this kind of big genius vision. If he'd pulled this off properly, all these ideas are actually quite cool.
And you never know, if we get the last two issues of Volume 2, it might.
No, but even that, I would have a problem with. It was like, got to the last two issues and you're like, oh, that's how it all ties together. It still doesn't mean that I've just sat through, 12 issues of shit to get to a nice ending. Like, you have to keep the audience with you the whole way.
True.
Even I actually like the ending of Age of Ultron because I like the way that it burst out into the multiversity. I think some very cool stuff has come out of
that. But the rest of the series is garbage.
But getting there was the most painful experience ever, and I can't forgive the previous 10 issues for doing that.
I like the fact that the characters in the book itself of S.H.I.E.L.D. all seem confused. I love the fact that they're all like, huh, what now?
Yeah, they actually say that at several points. Like, I'm not ashamed to say I have no idea what was going on in this movie.
I actually texted Richard earlier in the week and said, I don't understand.
And my first thought was, oh, thank God it's not me.
Yeah, I just didn't understand it. I'm expecting helicarriers and Nick Fury and even the genesis of what created S.H.I.E.L.D. And every page I'm turning going, are we getting there yet? No, we're going further back in time. Oh, no, we're back in. No, now we've got Isaac Newton being a bad guy. What?
Yeah, I kept expecting it to jump to Monday S.H.I.E.L.D. too.
Sorry, that's very distracting. It's good, but it's very... Okay.
All right, I'll get dressed. Look, I think to quickly wrap this up there, because I don't think we should waste any more time talking about this, we've got one of our long-term listeners, John D, has always said that the one thing he hates about our show is that he ends up spending a fortune because we've loved so many books that he's gone out and bought them afterwards.
Good news, John.
You don't have to spend a dime this week. So
you can't even look through the book. It's
no,
like shrink wrapped.
That's right. Dave texted us this week and said, I found it in the local bookstore and it was shrink wrapped. He said, so no one can see how craptacular it is, you know.
The funny thing, I bagged it out all we can. The one thing I will give this book is the artwork is beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Dustin Weaver's an amazing work.
Beautiful. It just makes no sense.
There's a scene when time traveling adventures of Richardson Stark.
Yep.
And they'd step out and there's that beautiful, ancient ruins from
a
time that, you know, the world is forgotten. And as is the case with almost every dystopian landscape, the moon is shattered across the sky, you know, and it's like it's the ancient ruins of something that hasn't happened yet because they're way, way in the future.
Yeah.
So it's like nothing recognizable.
Volume 2, they revisit all that.
Yeah. So but
about 5 times. Yes.
And you know what? I didn't even know if I want to read Volume 2.
Don't.
I started reading it and just thought, it's not necessary.
I almost didn't. I almost got to the end of Volume 1 and thought, we're only actually doing Volume 1. Although, do you know what I will say? I will say that what I actually enjoyed more than the 6 issues was I enjoyed Infinity.
Which was all short stories.
Because the 7th issue of Volume 1 is called S.H.I.E.L.D. Infinity.
It's all going to tie up.
It's going to tie in.
And what was really interesting was that was kind of like 4 short stories, which were origins for each of the arcs.
Yes. So
and the art in that was great.
And the art in that, because it was different artists on each one of the stories. And that actually, that made sense. Mm. And you suddenly went, oh.
And you got to see, like, Isaac Newton get the beat down. Where they actually hit him with an apple in the head.
And I quite like that. And that quite
we have to spend more time on that. Someone actually grabs an apple and just starts smashing Isaac Newton's head in with the apple.
But it explained why
heavy.
Not heavy. It explained why Nostradamus was in the pit. It explained how he got there and why he was there. So that Infinity issue was better than the six issues prior or leading up to
it.
So I look at it and go, okay, once I finished reading that, I went, I'm not going to read volume two because I know it doesn't finish. And I'm just, but for some reason I just went, you know, it's four comics. Mm. Let's just see what happens. But all the people out there listening, Don't do this. Don't do it to yourselves.
Well, we're quite lucky that next week we're doing something a bit better. But before then, we've had some feedback this week.
We did. So I think we should call the girl into the room.
Girl.
All right.
There you are, girl. Hey, girl. We've had some good feedback this week. We've asked people to hit us up on iTunes and leave us some feedback there. If you really want to support the show, remember to go to iTunes and leave us a star rating or some positive feedback. Mm-hmm. It really helps us improve our rankings. And it's the one thing you can do that doesn't cost you anything and it takes 30 seconds of your time and means the world to us. We had one this week from Kim who said the show is lots of fun. Only recently started listening to this great show and it's growing on me in a nice way. Keep up the fun comic book news and reviews in an Aussie way.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie.
Oi.
Hey.
We also got some email feedback this week from a long-time listener of Geek Actually has come back to the fold.
First-time caller.
So John has written in and said, "Hi, guys. I'd like to say you guys run a great podcast. I like the way that's worded." He says, "I'd like to say." So in other words, he's saying it doesn't. But "I'd like to say you guys run a great podcast. It's very informative and very well put together. I would also like to say, you bastards. Since I've been listening to your show, I now have more than 200 comics on Comixology and have bought two dozen in print. It's not easy to get to comic shops where I am, so thank you for decreasing my bank account.
Don't worry about S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, don't buy S.H.I.E.L.D. As I have sat and listened to you guys talk about this and that comics, I had to go and buy a few to see if I would like them. Well, over 200 comics later, I can say that I am greatly enjoying reading comics. I have bought Watchmen, V for Vendetta, Dark Knight Returns, Siege, to name a few. Good choices. What can I tell you? But I think my favorite so far has been when you guys mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Quite a few podcasts ago. Since then, I have got Annihilation, Annihilation Conquest, Guardians of the Galaxy, and the Thanos Imperative. And I must say,
good choices.
They are brilliant. Yeah. Yes, you have done well for yourself. I really don't know
You've done a man job, sir. A man's job.
I really don't know how they're going to cut the story down for the movie, but I am super stoked to see it next year. Anyway, I'm going to paraphrase off the rest. There's one part that I have to read, though. It's very important, which it says, "Anyway, thanks for all your work on the show. I think Dave Longo, sorry, I don't know how to spell it. You spelled it right. That's okay. Is a great addition. Ooh. He is genuinely funny, like you guys, and has a very infectious laugh. And I dropped you a 5-star rating for the Superfeed ages ago, and I am Mr. DM44, who dropped a 5-star rating on Behind the Panels."
Ah, well, there you go.
Thank you. Thank you very much, John.
I appreciate it. John, fantastic. Yeah. I will disagree with you on the last point, but
I've been feeling that since we started. What's his name? Sorry?
John,
I think they're going to boot me off any episode soon, so thank you very much.
If you keep bringing
next week.
If you keep bringing Hickman to this show.
Actually, no, I think I suggested this one.
You did. So. Don't take the blame.
Well, next week, actually, we've got a very special episode. We are going to have Mr. Dave Longo here, so don't worry. He's not going anywhere soon.
But we're also going to have...
We're also going to be joined by Carl and Patrick Purcell, Australian authors of Winter City, which is a book we picked up at Supernova this year.
Absolutely.
We met the boys there. And we like the book, we like what they're doing, we like the art. They're Sydney-based, so we said, let's get you guys in. It's taken us a few months, but we're getting them in next week.
This is going to be a very crowded studio.
It's going to be, there's going to be five of us in the studio next week, but it is going to be a hell of a lot of fun. They've promised to bring beer.
And sprinklers.
So we'll be...
We should do an outdoor show.
That would be interesting.
Well, we could do those for next week. We'll just open up all the windows and everything.
We could go hunt a shark together.
Yeah, we'll be loud enough to cover any background noise.
Yeah, I think with five of us going, we'll be fine. We'll just open all the windows up. Yeah. We'll hit the fans. We'll keep the studio relatively cool.
I think so. So if you haven't checked it out, go to their website. Just look up Winter City Comics. And they've put these all out themselves. You can get the first issue for free online. You can check that out now. The rest of them you can buy directly from them. You can buy them as a set. There's six issues out at the moment. That's what we'll be talking about.
They also had it put as a collection too, didn't they?
Yeah, you can buy them as a I don't think they've put it out as a trade, but you can buy them as a collection of six issues. So check them out. Check out their website. We always love supporting the locals, so definitely.
So it should be a good show next week. It should be a lot of. It should be very chaotic next week.
Yes. So. In the meantime, if you want to hit us up, as we've already mentioned, go to behindthepanels.net. You can send us any feedback at feedback@behindthepanels.net, or of course go to facebook.com/behindthepanels. All those places, we will respond.
Mm-hmm.
And if we like what you have to say, or even if we don't like what you have to say, we'll read it out on the show.
Absolutely. Negative is as good as positive feedback. Helps us grow.
Constructive. Is what we want. Until then, you can find me on Twitter at DVDBits. You can also find me at therealbits.com. That's the RELBits.com, or of course on behindthepanels.net.
You can find me on at David McVeigh on Twitter or at geekactually.com.
You can find me at Dave Longo on Twitter or damngoodcup.com.
Why are you looking like that?
It's just you seem skeptical.
Is that really my address?
No, because I haven't updated them in like 2 months. There's like absolutely nothing on there.
I just promoted Geek Actually. All that goes on Geek Actually is this show at the moment.
You can find the old me
at damngoodcup.com. You can find Dan Longo behind the panels. The podcast. Oh, yeah.
I did an Infinity review for issue one, and promised at the end that every week we'll be updating this.
And we should say next week, if you're not already subscribing to the Geek Actually superfeed, do that shortly if you're only subscribing to the Behind the Panels feed, because we're going to have a new podcast starting next week.
Yeah, we're going to have the pilot of a new podcast so,
next week.
Yeah.
So,
and we do need feedback on that show. So basically, we're going to put the pilot out for the new show. Should we give the title?
It's going to be called Geek Movie Club.
Absolutely. The Geek Movie Club.
Yay.
And basically, the pilot will go out. We've already done one pilot, which will never be seen the light of day. Mm-hmm. We've adjusted since then. We're going to put the second pilot out publicly. We want your feedback so that we can help build that show into a much better show. So please, do download that one.
So it's going to be the three of us. It's going to be sort of a raucous look at entertainment news, film, what we've been watching. Kind of like a mashup of the old Film Actually and Film Actually News and Geek Actually stories.
Yeah.
If we find weird stories, anything like the Natural Harvest kind of stuff, it'll be in there as well. The long-time listeners will know what I'm talking about.
Yes. John probably remembers that.
Yeah. But until then, so look forward to that. If you've got any stories you'd like to include on that show, send them to the regular channels, of course. But until then, I'm Richard Gray.
I'm David McVeigh.
David Longo.
And this is Behind the Panels.